The Golden Bough. A Study of Magic and Religion. By Sir James George Frazer. This audiobook was produced by Klaus-Dieter Mond, Rastatt, Germany and is published under the conditions of the Gutenberg Organization. Please note, this chapter was cut into three files, as the original was too long for concentrated listening. Chapter 52. Killing the Divine Animal. Section 5. Killing the Sacred Bear. Part 1. Doubt also hangs at first sight over the meaning of the bear sacrifice offered by the Aino or Aina, a primitive people who are found in the Japanese island of Yesdo or Yeso, as well as in Sagdalen and the southern of the Kurile Islands. It is not quite easy to define the attitude of the Aino towards the bear. On the one hand, they give it the name of Kamu or God. But as they apply the same word to strangers, it may mean no more than a being supposed to be endowed with superhuman, or at all events extraordinary, powers. Again, it is said that the bear is their chief divinity. In the religion of the Aino, the bear plays a chief part. Amongst the animals, it is especially the bear which receives an idolatrous veneration. They worship it after their fashion. There is no doubt that this wild beast inspires more of the feeling which prompts worship than the inanimate forces of nature, and the Aino may be distinguished as bear worshippers. Yet, on the other hand, they kill the bear whenever they can. In bygone years, the Aino considered bear hunting the most manly and useful way in which a person could possibly spend his time. The men spent the autumn, winter, and spring in hunting deer and bears. Part of their tribute or taxes is paid in skins, and they subsist on the dried meat. Bear's flesh is indeed one of their staple foods. They eat it both fresh and salted. And the skins of bears furnish them with clothing. In fact, the worship of which writers on this subject speak appears to be paid chiefly to the dead animal. Thus, although they kill a bear whenever they can, in the process of dissecting the carcass they endeavor to conciliate the deity, whose representative they have slain, by making elaborate obeisance and deprecatory salutations. When a bear has been killed, the Aino sit down and admire it, make their salams to it, worship it, and offer presents of inayo. When a bear is trapped or wounded by an arrow, the hunters go through an apologetic or propitiatory ceremony. The skulls of slain bears receive a place of honor in their huts, or are set up on sacred posts outside the huts, and are treated with much respect, libations of millet beer, and of sake, an intoxicating liquor, are offered to them. And they are addressed as divine preservers, or precious divinities. The skulls of foxes are also fastened to the sacred posts outside the huts. They are regarded as charms against evil spirits, and are consulted as oracles. Yet it is expressly said, the live fox is revered just as little as the bear. Rather, they avoid it as much as possible, considering it a wily animal. The bear can hardly, therefore, be described as a sacred animal of the Aino, nor yet as a totem. For they do not call themselves bears, and they kill and eat the animal freely. However, they have a legend of a woman who had a son by a bear. And many of them who dwell in the mountains pride themselves on being descended from a bear. Such people are called descendants of the bear, Kimun Kamusanakuri, and in the pride of their heart they will say, as for me, I am a child of the god of the mountains. I am descended from the divine one who rules in the mountains, meaning by the god of the mountains, no other than the bear. It is therefore possible that, as our principal authority, the Reverend J. Batchelor, believes, the bear may have been the totem of an Aino clan. But even if that were so, it would not explain the respect shown for the animal by the whole Aino people. But it is the bear festival of the Aino which concerns us here. Towards the end of winter, a bear cub is caught and brought into the village. If it is very small, it is suckled by an Aino woman, but should there be no woman able to suckle it, the little animal is fed from the hand or the mouth. During the day it plays about in the hut with the children and is treated with great affection. But when the cub grows big enough to pain people by hugging or scratching them, he is shut up in a strong wooden cage, where he stays generally for 2 or 3 years, fed on fish and millet porridge, till it is time for him to be killed and eaten. But it is a peculiarly striking fact that the young bear is not kept merely to furnish a good meal. Rather, he is regarded and honored as a fetish, or even as a sort of higher being. In Yezo, the festival is generally celebrated in September or October. Before it takes place, the Aino apologize to their gods, alleging that they have treated the bear kindly as long as they could. Now they can feed him no longer, and are obliged to kill him. A man who gives a bear feast invites his relations and friends. In a small village, nearly the whole community takes part in the feast. Indeed, guests from distant villages are invited and generally come, allured by the prospect of getting drunk for nothing. The form of invitation runs somewhat as follows: Roman 1, so-and-so, am about to sacrifice the dear little divine thing who resides among the mountains. My friends and masters, come ye to the feast. We will then unite in the great pleasure of sending the god away. Come. When all the people are assembled in front of the cage, an orator chosen for the purpose addresses the bear and tells it that they are about to send it forth to its ancestors. He craves pardon for what they are about to do to it, hopes it will not be angry, and comforts it by assuring the animal that many of the sacred whittled sticks, inao, and plenty of cakes and wine will be sent with it on the long journey. One speech of this sort which Mr. Bachelor Howard ran as follows: O thou divine one, thou wast sent into the world for us to hunt. O thou precious little divinity, we worship thee. Pray hear our prayer. We have nourished thee and brought thee up with a deal of pains and trouble, all because we love thee so. Now, as thou hast grown big, we are about to send thee to thy father and mother. When thou comest to them, please speak well of us, and tell them how kind we have been. Please come to us again and we will sacrifice thee. Having been secured with ropes, the bear is then let out of the cage and assailed with a shower of blunt arrows in order to arouse it to fury. When it has spent itself in vain struggles, it is tied up to a stake, gagged and strangled, its neck being placed between two poles, which are then violently compressed, all the people eagerly helping to squeeze the animal to death. An arrow is also discharged into the beast's heart by a good marksman, but so as not to shed blood, for they think that it would be very unlucky if any of the blood were to drip on the ground. However, the men sometimes drink the warm blood of the bear, that the courage and other virtues it possesses may pass unto them. And sometimes they besmear themselves and their clothes with the blood in order to ensure success in hunting. When the animal has been strangled to death, it is skinned and its head is cut off and set in the east window of the house, where a piece of its own flesh is placed under its snout, together with a cup of its own meat boiled, some millet dumplings, and dried fish. Prayers are then addressed to the dead animal. Amongst other things, it is sometimes invited, after going away to its father and mother, to return unto the world in order that it may again be reared for sacrifice. When the bear is supposed to have finished eating its own flesh, the man who presides at the feast takes the cup containing the boiled meat, salutes it, and divides the contents between all the company present. Every person, young and old alike, must taste a little. The cup is called the cup of offering, because it has just been offered to the dead bear. When the rest of the flesh has been cooked, it is shared out in like manner among all the people, everybody partaking of at least a morsel. Not to partake of the feast would be equivalent to excommunication; it would be to place the recreant outside the pale of Aino fellowship. Formerly, every particle of the bear, except the bones, had to be eaten up at the banquet, but this rule is now relaxed. The head, on being detached from the skin, is set up on a long pole beside the sacred ones, inao, outside of the house, where it remains till nothing but the bare white skull is left. Skulls so set up are worshipped not only at the time of the festival, but very often as long as they last. The Aino assured Mr. Bachelor that they really do believe the spirits of the worshipful animals to reside in the skulls. That is why they address them as divine preservers, and precious divinities. The ceremony of killing the bear was witnessed by Dr. Biscayab on the 10th of August at Kunyu, which is a village on Volcano Bay in the island of Yezo or Yeso. As his description of the rite contains some interesting particulars not mentioned in the foregoing account, it may be worthwhile to summarize it. On entering the hut he found about 30 Aino present, men, women, and children, all dressed in their best. The master of the house first offered a libation on the fireplace to the god of the fire, and the guests followed his example. Then a libation was offered to the house god in his sacred corner of the hut. Meanwhile the housewife, who had nursed the bear, sat by herself, silent and sad, bursting now and then into tears. Her grief was obviously unaffected, and it deepened as the festival went on. Next, the master of the house and some of the guests went out of the hut and offered libations before the bear's cage. A few drops were presented to the bear in a saucer, which he at once upset. Then the women and girls danced round the cage, their faces turned towards it, their knees slightly bent, rising and hopping on their toes. As they danced they clapped their hands and sang a monotonous song. The housewife and a few old women, who might have nursed many bears, danced tearfully, stretching out their arms to the bear, and addressing it in terms of endearment. The young folks were less affected. They laughed as well as sang. Disturbed by the noise, the bear began to rush about his cage and howl lamentably. Next libations were offered at the Inayo, Inabis, or sacred wands which stand outside of an Aino hut. These wands are about a couple of feet high, and are whittled at the top into spiral shavings. Five new wands with bamboo leaves attached to them had been set up for the festival. This is regularly done when a bear is killed. The leaves mean that the animal may come to life again. Then the bear was let out of his cage, a rope was thrown round his neck, and he was led about in the neighborhood of the hut. While this was being done the men, headed by a chief, shot at the beast with arrows tipped with wooden buttons. Dr. Skinab had to do so also. Then the bear was taken before the sacred ones, a stick was put in his mouth, nine men knelt on him and pressed his neck against a beam. In 5 minutes the animal had expired without uttering a sound. Meantime the women and girls had taken post behind the men, where they danced, lamenting, and beating the men who were killing the bear. The bear's carcass was next placed on the mat before the sacred wands. And a sword and quiver, taken from the wands, were hung round the beast's neck. Being a she-bear, it was also adorned with a necklace and earrings. Then food and drink were offered to it, in the shape of millet broth, millet cakes, and a pot of sake. The men now sat down on mats before the dead bear, offered libations to it, and drank deep. Meanwhile the women and girls had laid aside all marks of sorrow, and danced merrily, none more merrily than the old women. When the mirth was at its height two young Aino, who had let the bear out of his cage, mounted the roof of the hut and threw cakes of millet among the company, who all scrambled for them without distinction of age or sex. The bear was next skinned and disemboweled, and the trunk severed from the head, to which the skin was left hanging. The blood, caught in cups, was eagerly swallowed by the men. None of the women or children appeared to drink the blood, the custom did not forbid them to do so. The liver was cut in small pieces and eaten raw, with salt, the women and children getting their share. The flesh and the rest of the vitals were taken into the house to be kept till the next day but one, and then to be divided among the persons who had been present at the feast. Blood and liver were offered to Dr. Skinab. While the bear was being disemboweled, the women and girls danced the same dance which they had danced at the beginning not, however, round the cage, but in front of the sacred wands. At this dance the old women, who had been merry a moment before, again shed tears freely. After the brain had been extracted from the bear's head and swallowed with salt, the skull, detached from the skin, was hung on a pole beside the sacred wands. The stick with which the bear had been gagged was also fastened to the pole, and so were the sword and quiver which had been hung on the carcase. The latter were removed in about an hour, but the rest remained standing. The whole company, men and women, danced noisily before the bowl, and another drinking bout, in which the women joined, closed the festival.